The Daily Office Readings for Fridays
from Proper 20 after Pentecost.
Among the Psalms appointed for today is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say to the Lord, "You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust." He shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter, and from the deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with his pinions, and you shall find refuge under his wings. His faithfulness shall be a shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, of the plague that stalks in the darkness, nor of the sickness that lays waste at midday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Your eyes have only to behold to see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The lesson reading is from the book of Acts, and in this passage Paul has been in Ephesus, baptizing people there and throughout the province of Asia, and many people are being baptized as a result of an event that occurs just before this passage. People have begun to renounce the practice of magic. And a good many of those who formerly practiced magic collected their books and burnt them publicly. The total value was reckoned up, and it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. In such ways the word of the Lord showed its power, spreading more and more widely and effectively. When things had reached this stage, Paul made up his mind to visit Macedonia and Achaia and then go on to Jerusalem. And he said, "After I have been there, I must see Rome also." So he sent two of his assistants, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he himself stayed some time longer in the province of Asia. Now about that time the Christian movement gave rise to a serious disturbance. There was a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana and provided a great deal of employment for the craftsmen. He called a meeting of these men and the workers in allied trades and addressed them. "Men," he said, "you know that our high standard of living depends on this industry, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul with his propaganda has perverted crowds of people, not only at Ephesus, but also in practically the whole of the province of Asia. He is telling them that gods made by human hands are not gods at all. There is danger for us here. It is not only that our line of business will be discredited, but also that the sanctuary of the great goddess Diana will cease to command respect. And then it will not be long before she who is worshipped by all Asia and the civilized world is brought down from her divine preeminence." When they heard this, they were roused to fury and shouted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" The whole city was in confusion. They seized Paul's traveling companions, the Macedonians Gaius and Aristarchus, and made a concerted rush with them into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the assembly, but the other Christians would not let him. Even some of the dignitaries of the province, who were friendly towards him, sent and urged him not to venture into the theater. Meanwhile, some were shouting one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know what they had all come for. But some of the crowd explained the trouble to Alexander, whom the Jews had pushed to the front, and he, motioning for silence, attempted to make a defense before the assembly. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, a single cry arose from them all. For about 2 hours they kept on shouting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" The town clerk, however, quieted the crowd. Men of Ephesus, he said, all the world knows that our city of Ephesus is temple warden of the great Diana, and of that symbol of her which fell from heaven. Since these facts are beyond dispute, your proper course is to keep quiet and do nothing rash. These men whom you have brought here as culprits have committed no sacrilege and uttered no blasphemy against our goddess. If, therefore, Demetrius and his craftsmen have a case against anyone, assizes are held, and there are such people as proconsuls. Let the parties bring their charges and countercharges. If, on the other hand, you have some further question to raise, it will be dealt with in the statutory assembly. We certainly run the risk of being charged with riot for this day's work. There is no justification for it, and if the issue is raised, we shall be unable to give any explanation of this uproar. With that, he dismissed the assembly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and in this passage, Jesus has come to Nazareth, and in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he's read the lesson from Isaiah, indicating that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, and he tells the assembly there in the synagogue that in their hearing this text has come true. He then reminds them that there are examples of God's goodness to non-Israelites, and at that point the congregation gets infuriated. They take him to the brow of the hill and try to throw him over the edge, but he walks straight through them and goes away. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Coming down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, he taught the people on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for what he said had the note of authority. Now there was a man in the synagogue possessed by a devil, an unclean spirit. He shrieked at the top of his voice, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him. "Be silent," he said, "and come out of him." Then the devil, after throwing the man down in front of the people, left him without doing him any injury. Amazement fell on them all, and they said to one another, "What is there in this man's words? He gives orders to the unclean spirits with authority and power, and out they go." So the news spread, and he was the talk of the whole district. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.